And as I was thinking about this, I realized that I wouldn't have noticed that there was a gap in the story. When you read the story of the feeding of the great crowd in the other three Gospels, it just says, we have a few, however many loaves and fish it was, I can never remember the numbers, they're not important. We've got a few loaves and a few fish. I would never have asked myself, where did they come from? But John's Gospel, I think this is probably why John tells the story, because he's got some additional information he can add that's not in the other Gospels. And John tells us it was a boy whose mum had packed him up a packed lunch, and he was prepared to give it up. And if he hadn't done that, then the whole miracle story wouldn't have happened, presumably. And that's a reminder and a symbol that God calls us to invest our goods, what we have to offer, in order to release the abundance that God wants to give. We are called upon to give what we can of our money, our possessions, our time, and our talents, because then God will say, you've done your part, now I'm going to do mine. And as I was thinking about this during the week, I realized that the boy, that it cost the boy. And I thought about my own giving. I'm fortunate, I'm able to give away quite a lot by my standards, you know. But I thought, well, I can feel really good about myself. I just did my income tax return recently, and I had to put how much have I gift aided. And I thought, goodness gracious, that's a big proportion of my income. But then I realized that I haven't had to give up anything that I would have spent on myself. So in that sense, all the money I gave away was spare money. It didn't cost me anything, which was a sobering thought. Because I don't suppose the boy realized that there was going to be a miracle and that he was going to get fed. In fact, presumably, what he thought he was doing was saying, well, Jesus is our teacher. We want to honor him. We want to give something to him. So we're going to have to go hungry, but at least I'll give up my lunch that my mum has given me so that at least Jesus can have something to eat. I think he thought he was giving it for Jesus to eat. He wasn't expecting a miracle, so he said, I'm prepared to go hungry today in order to honor Jesus. Today, this church is giving via Wirral Food Bank. And now we could have a... Clearly this isn't... Yeah, there we are. We'll start. We're a Christian organisation, but we welcome people of all faiths and none as volunteers and as clients. I'm the third ever chairman, and all three chairmen have always worn a dog collar. So we've always had an ordained person as the chair, and that is one way in which we establish that we're a Christian organisation. But we have lots of people in amongst our volunteers, and obviously particularly as our clients who are of no particular faith. The food that we are given, most of it comes from two sources. 40% comes from churches, and 40% comes from supermarkets, either regular collections or special events. But we also have some given from schools, especially at this time of year with harvest, and companies and individuals. And It's taken to our warehouse, which is on in the Wirral Business Centre. I was just trying to decide which is the best monitor to look at. I think that's probably easiest. It's a bit distant, but good job I know what what the pictures are of. Very often when I preach, I have verses of scripture up on the screen with a laptop sort of down there, and I read it off the laptop. I think if I was having to read scripture off there, I would find that a bit demanding. So it's a good job I haven't done that today. So it's taken to our warehouse, which is in the Wirral Business Centre on the corner of Gorsey Lane and Dock Road, which I always think of as being on the edge of Wallasey, but technically apparently is on the edge of Birkenhead. It's where Wallasey and Birkenhead join. Then it's taken by van to our 15 distribution centres around the Wirral, mostly in Birkenhead and Wallasey. That's a picture of a distribution centre. There's a food store and a cafe area with a group of friendly volunteers ready to welcome people, offer them a cup of tea or coffee, offer them a listening ear if they want one. Some people do, some people don't. Some people want to talk about their problems and their situations. Other people, they're embarrassed to be there. They just think, just give me the food and let me get out of here. So obviously we have to be flexible in relation to that. All the people who come to us, you're not expected to be able to read that. It's just a red piece. That's a picture of a red piece of paper for those who can't recognise it. Everybody who comes to us comes bringing a voucher issued by a referral agency. You can't just go into a distribution and say, I'm in need, please give me some food, because it's not our job to decide who needs anything and who doesn't. As far as we're concerned, if you've got a voucher, we will give you the food. If you haven't got a voucher, we will tell you where you can get one. The places where you can get vouchers are one-stop shops, Citizens Advice Bureau, Wirral Ways to Recovery, and loads of other local charities. A couple of the local MPs are voucher holders. Some schools are. I did some assemblies last autumn for Harvest Festival and mentioned that schools were voucher holders. And in two of the schools, the head teacher had a word with me afterwards and said, well, we have lots of families in need, could we please become voucher holders? And that got processed within a day, I think, and so they became voucher holders. The reason they're printed on red, incidentally, is because you can't photocopy red, and so if anybody was tempted to photocopy a voucher so they could use it twice, they won't be able to. They'd get caught anyway, because when it got entered in the computer would say, I've already had one with this number on. So we are quite careful in our procedures to make sure that nobody is cheating the system, because we know human nature being what it is, if people can cheat, they probably will. On the voucher, it says why people have come to us. And the biggest reason why people are in need is because of benefit changes. In fact, I was hearing a few days ago of a case that was dealt with in one of our distribution centres 9 days ago, so it's very recent, where a woman and three young children came in, and her partner had recently moved in with the family. Now, a lot of people, as we know, think, well, I probably won't get caught. We'll carry on claiming benefit and not admit that we're living together. But she didn't do that. She thought, I've got to do the decent and correct and moral and legal thing. So she contacted the job centre and said, my partner's moved in with me, so we're now a household rather than two individuals. So they said, thank you very much. We'll recalculate your benefit. Of course, that means you won't get anything for the next 6 weeks. There's an incentive to do the legal thing. You lose your benefit for 6 weeks because when there's a change in your circumstances, it takes them 6 weeks to sort it out. And it's as I think people find this quite difficult to believe because it's so obvious that if there's a change and it's going to take some time to implement the change, they ought to pay the old, continue paying the old benefit until the new one kicks in. It's so obvious that that should happen that I think most people assume it does, but it doesn't. And so this woman was going to be without income for 6 weeks. In fact, our embedded advice worker, who I'll mention in a moment, happened to be there, and it was one of her rare failures. Normally, she's able to sort out the problems she deals with. She contacted the DWP and they said, sorry, there's nothing we can do. The people have operated the system quite correctly. She has to wait 6 weeks. Also, there's sanctions and what's popularly called the bedroom tax. You get a lot of people who have been told that because they live in a two-bedroom flat, and there aren't any one-bedroom flats around anyway, it's expensive to move, but the government says if you're a single person, you don't need to, or indeed if you're a couple, you don't need, with no children, you don't need two bedrooms, so you should move to a place with one bedroom, and if you don't, we'll only pay you in housing benefit what a one-bedroom flat would cost. So when they get their benefit for, that's intended to be enough for food and clothing and incidental expenses, they have to take a slice off the top to top up their rent. And that means there isn't enough. Also, people who get into debt and emergencies. There are a lot of people who are very careful in budgeting and in expenditure, but then the cooker blows up or something like that, and there isn't a margin. There isn't any space, any room for manoeuvre if emergencies happen. What we give to people is enough to keep them, to feed them for 3 days according to the size of their household. So I certainly can't read out the figures from this distance, but that's what we would give to a single person. And you may be able, I can read it from here, but not from there. It weighs 7.5 kilos and would cost just over £9 in a supermarket. If you're a family of two adults and two children, obviously there's more, that weighs 20.5 kilos, it would cost £25.50 in a supermarket. All the food we give out is non-perishable because we don't have freezers or fridges, so we can't store perishable food, and we have to be very careful about things like that. Everything that's given out has to be within its sell-by date, because if not, we could be prosecuted, which would not be very good. The most important thing that we've started doing in the last year or so is what we call signposting, because I've been very aware of the need for this when people come to us and you're talking to them and they tell you the plight that they're in, and you think, well, you should be getting help with this. You shouldn't have been turned down for benefit. You shouldn't have been sanctioned unfairly or whatever it might be. But I can't do anything about that. It's not my skill or my training. And we can stop you from starving over the next 3 days, which is something, but increasingly we feel it's important for us to signpost people in the direction of ask us Wirral, which is the Citizens Advice Bureau and a number of other organisations working together who will help. But the latest thing is that we actually have an advice worker embedded in our food bank. That is, she actually attends food bank distribution centres. She's full-time. Technically, she's employed by the Citizens Advice Bureau. But a school in Birkenhead, the Roman Catholic School, the St. John Plessington School, offered us to, said they wanted to give us some money, a substantial sum of money, from their charitable giving. And on the basis of that, we were able to go to the John Moores Foundation and some other places. We were also able to tell them that two of our supporters who were getting married had said to their friends and relatives, don't give us any presents, give money for the food bank. And that money also went in. And so John Moores and other charities said, well, if a charity have already given you some money for this, and some of your supporters have given you money, we will add to it. Charities, on the whole, don't like being the first. If you're already on the way there, they'll give you some to top it up. And so we were able to raise enough money to employ an advice worker for 2 years. And so that's what's happening. And as I say, technically, Citizens Advice Bureau deal with the actual employment issues, but the money comes from charities to us in response to this need. And Nikki has been working for us for 6 months now, and in those 6 months, she's dealt with 421 cases. These are the neediest people in our society. They're people who, some people, they can operate the system of benefits and so on. They can fill in a 40-something page document form online. They can explain themselves to the DWP. They can say, I don't think this is right. But there are people who have mental health issues and learning difficulties who can't stand up for their rights, can't get what they're entitled to unless somebody helps them. And so that's what's happening. Oh, yes, that's just an indication of something. The number of people fed last year and this year. Orange is adults, blue is children. So you see the numbers have gone up. And that one which turned itself on is the food donated to us and distributed by us. Again, 2016 over the left, 2017 to 18 on the right. You see that the amount of food given has gone up very significantly, but the amount we've given out has gone up as well. Thank you very much for your support today. If you want to do more, we always need volunteers in the distribution centres, and we do particularly need some more help in distribution centres at the moment, and in the warehouse, and with our special supermarket collections, which means a couple of hours a year, probably. And then also, whenever you have the opportunity, you go shopping and you see there's a box there for the food bank, please add an extra item to your weekly shopping and put it in. We need food to be given, and we also always need money because it costs us a lot to run the food bank. So thank you very much for what you have done, and be assured that everything that's given to us in terms of food, money, time and talents is made good use of in order to help the neediest people in our community.